Item number six is a secondary plan amendment for the Waverly West Northeast Neighborhood under file SPA 1 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter of the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 7, which is an application for a rezoning and subdivision for lands east of Keniston Boulevard between Bison Drive and Northtown Road, and land north of Northtown Road on either side of Bridgeland Drive North under file DASZ 3 of 2009.
Yeah. Mr. McNeil.
a small addendum to the ACG report at this time?
On which one?
Item C, development agreement addendum, clause number 5. Clause 5 currently reads that the developer shall be responsible for the site until it is officially inspected, and we just wanted to insert the words public open space before site to be clear that it's the public open space that...
That we're talking about, not the entire subdivision.
Exactly.
Okay. I have no problem with that. Mark?
First thing.
Paul, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else here to speak on this except for yourself and Jim. So maybe we can do this somewhat informally. I have just a couple of questions. As a result of using the city's land for green space, you end up with some more lots,
yes,
more developable area.
Yes.
So what's the saw for the city?
Do you want that answer specifically, or do you want me to address a little bit of background on that?
No, I'm trying to figure out where the value is for the city here is all. We've got a piece of land that you're going to use for some added value for your development.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'll abbreviate my comments.
Okay.
They're much shorter than I was planning to, but if I could direct you to the first sheet.
Every minute of my time is going to cost you a percentage of my vote.
Well, I'll talk faster. Not my usual pedantic presentation.
I say that in jest.
All right. Just very briefly, for those of you who are not fully familiar with this area, when the city of Winnipeg was formed in 1972, the city inherited two former landfill sites from the old RM of Fort Garry, 23 and 24. As part of the planning and subdivision planning process for the whole Waverly West area, the city had asked MHRC to undertake geotechnical and environmental studies of both those sites so that there's a better understanding of any potential liability, environmental liability, and risks associated with them in terms of developing the site. Fortunately, Landfill Site 23, which is the one on Cadborough Road and the one that's subject to tonight's application, was used mostly for dry garbage. Did not have a lot of wet and organic material in it, which generally creates more methane, more leachate, etc. So the site that we're talking about, 23, has some organic material in it, a lot of construction material, but a limited amount of issues with respect to leachate and methane, but not no issues. And so in that respect, the city still has an environmental liability with respect to this landfill site. When we moved forward with the initial application, DASZ 1 of 06, which is the second page in the package that I presented, the major application is that's up, indicated in the pale orange color. At that time, the city's administration asked us to leave the landfill site out of the application and leave it with agricultural zoning until they had a better understanding of some of the liabilities associated with it. They were hesitant to we were looking at designating that as PR from day one, but it wasn't. It was left out as agricultural. Subsequent to the approval of that application and in our meetings with Water and Waste with respect to how to integrate the landfill site into the subdivision, one of the things that your administration was beginning to identify as they began to look at this a little bit more carefully is that even without remediating the site, simply by cleaning the site up, and the site has a lot of broken debris, broken concrete and other debris on the site, there's roughly $1 million worth of costs that the city was going to incur simply to surface treat the site, that is, remove the broken concrete, rubble, steel, sod it, and make it into grass, and therefore have a potential for the site for some passive recreational uses, but not at no cost. There was a liability that went along with that. Plus, the city still had its long-term liability with respect to the landfill site itself. So the actual suggestion on possibly remediating the site by removing all of the garbage from the site and transferring it to the Brady landfill site came from the administration. The cost for doing that, Councillor, is about $2.5 million. And so although we're buying the land for a dollar,
as Don Cherry would say, I'm no rocket surgeon, but I get it.
You got it.
I can see the value.
So there's a trade-off. It's really an even proposition, if you will, in terms of the costs associated with cleaning this up versus the additional lots and land that MHRC gets out of this. It's a zero net gain in that respect in terms of dollars, but a tremendous gain in terms of what it does for the community in the long term.
Okay.
I can go through more detail on that, but I'm not sure that I need to unless there's specific questions.
No, I understand it. I read the report, and I just needed to see the value. The report didn't speak to the value.
Okay, the only last item that I would have is that there is one minor item in the ACG report that we'd like to bring to your attention that we would like addressed, and that's included on the last page of the material that I've handed out. In the previous applications that we've dealt with on Waverly West for the lands that back onto regional streets, there is an issue with respect to the city standards on noise mitigation for the rear lot lines and rear yards, I'm sorry, of those lots. And the first clause, this is on page 16 of the report under plan considerations, the first clause deals with mitigating that noise level to 65 decibels. And that is normally done through sound attenuation berms and fencing, which is being done in the rest of the subdivision. For reasons that we don't understand, and this only came to our attention when we got a copy of this report on Friday, there's been an additional clause added, which is clause 2, relating to specific yard setbacks on Bison Drive. And that's inconsistent with the previous applications and the previous approvals, and it would result in these lots in the small portion of the subdivision being deeper than all of the rest of the lots that back onto Bison Drive, Waverly, or even Keniston. And I'm not sure where this came from. We've had some discussions with the administration. The clause was provided by Roy Hartman, and Roy is not here this week. We believe that the city's intent and adequate protection can be provided for those lots simply by amending clause 1 by adding Bison Drive to that and simply deleting the second clause, and we would ask that your committee give consideration to that item.
I have no problem with that. Does anybody have any questions on that? Shirley, do you have any comment on that?
Chair, we have tried to establish whether this is an error or not, and we are unable to determine that at this time. Perhaps a good compromise would be for us to undertake to be sure to give you the correct information in time for P&D.
Well, by adding the intent of the law, I think, or the bylaw is met by adding the clause, single and two-family residential lots, which back onto Keniston Boulevard, add the phrase, and Bison Drive, the noise bylaw requirements are met. So I don't know. The only other reason I could see having a greater setback is that if you were trying to poach into some land for future expansion of Bison Drive, and I don't think there's any plan to do that. We've taken more than enough of the right-of-way. So I don't know why we'd frustrate the process here. Okay. Let's keep this thing moving, and I think we can, if there is an issue, we can bring it up and we can resolve it. I would hope.
That would be fine with us, Councillor.
Yeah, so I think we'll I have no problem with that amendment. We'll take care of it in the when we make the motions. Any comments on the subdivision and rezoning application, Paul?
No, I have nothing to add, Mr. Chairman, unless there are any specific questions.
This is a significant change in density from what we were looking at in here.
Overall density or specific to this area? Because
I'm trying to see where I...
The net increase is roughly 80 units in overall, but that's in part because the landfill lands are now being counted as part of the subdivision rather than excluded as the subdivision. Part of the subdivision. And so, yes, there is an increase in the number of dwelling units. That's the offset in terms of where the developer will generate the funds to pay for the remediation costs.
So even though the density changed, the spatial use of the land, I think the density goes the other way in this.
Where did I read? There's going to be more units in this neighborhood as a result of the change. There'll be more single family and slightly less multifamily, but it's a net increase in units.
There's a net increase in total number of units. This does not represent a peak in density in one part of the subdivision. It doesn't suddenly get a lot more dense as a result of this application. what we're able to do, Councillor, by remediating the landfill site and removing the garbage. The landfill site currently is about 20 feet above grade and is not suitable for active recreational sports fields. By remediating it, taking all of the garbage out and relocating it to Brady, we're able to grade and level the site so that the landfill site can now be utilized for active sports activities, which is one of the things that the city's administration sees as a positive of this application.
In the lower density residential, 199 acres and 60 acres struck out, and 299 acres and 66.5% respectively are substituted.
That amendment is effectively just a correction of 1 acre as a result of a recalculation.
Oh, okay. I was reading it wrong before.
Okay. And when do you foresee the extension of Keniston Boulevard coming in to serve this land?
2010. The issues with respect to the alignment of the intersection of Keniston and Bishop Grandin have now been resolved with Public Works, so it's currently being designed. The intent would be to construct it in 2010. And that ties in, Councillor, with the last map in the package that I've given to you just before the text that shows phase
three. I see it there.
And that includes the extension, yes.
What hurdles are left to overcome in order to do that?
I don't think there are any further hurdles at this point. The land
acquisition has been done?
Land acquisition has all been taken care of. The only issue at this point is the design and the tendering, and it's too late in the year to do that this year. The timing with respect to when it is required, it'll be tendered probably in early winter or midwinter, February, okay. March, and under construction as soon as weather permits in the spring.
I'm good.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else you'd like to add? I hope not.
Nothing more from me, thank you.
Okay, if you will take the chair, Councillor Vandell, I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, contrary carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor, contrary carried.